Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Right, specialists in Bible-based content. Today we're talking about our heroes in the Bible for our boys' bunker. And basically that means we're going to talk about boys finding heroes from the Bible instead of the world. I don't know about you, Brother Mike. Did you have anyone that you looked up to while you were growing up?
I'll be very honest with you. Uh-huh. My life was influenced by a lot of activities or a lot of stories in the Bible from the age of 8.
Oh.
Because that's the year that I lost my dad. And
oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I drew a lot of inspiration and a lot of courage and hope. From the Bible, so Bible stories and everything from the Bible really inspired me a lot. But other than that, I was very fortunate to have an earthly mentor who shaped my life, and this is the husband to one of my sisters. Growing up, he took me his own son, and he introduced me to computers when I was in standard 8, and that's when I developed my passion for computers, and today I actually have a career in ICT. It's really great to have someone whom you look up to, someone who mentors you, and someone who gives you a sense of direction.
I love that. You know, it's really rare to find, not really rare, I don't want to make it sound like it doesn't happen often, but it's really amazing to know that there are people who grew up with such good influences around them, because we know, especially when it comes to men, unfortunately, that sometimes they are exposed to such bad influences, whether it's from media consumption or whether it's from their own households, from their fathers or even from their mothers, that they turn out to be very difficult people as they grow up. So I think it's important to then do as you have experienced, to be raised in such a way where you find strength in the characters from the Bible. That is an amazing thing to, because I was thinking of myself when I'd asked the question, I thought you would say, oh, John Cena or something like that and the likes. But I really love that was a curveball to say, nope, I was raised right and I looked up to people in the Bible. So now let us share that influence with other parents so that they can raise their sons right as well. So the Bible is rich with stories of heroes who demonstrated courage, faith, and obedience to God. And these stories are valuable lessons for boys as they navigate their own journeys of growth and character development. So who are some of the most influential biblical heroes that boys can learn lessons from, in your opinion? This is just to put a disclaimer for the listeners. He is not saying it that these are the ones that you should look at as being the most influential, but in his opinion, this is who he thinks is influential.
For young boys, and thanks for asking that question. I really had a hard time to think of one Bible character whom we can zero in and build a story from for the benefit of our discussion. So I got inspired that probably we should look at Samuel, who started his life in a very mysterious way and grew up to be a very influential judge, and who also happens to be the last judge of the tribe of Israel.
Of Israel.
Just before Israelites transitioned into having kings and stopped having judges.
Right.
So if you look at the life of Samuel, his life of service, a lot of Bible scholars have commented that he must have started his life of service at around the age of 12, 13. And if we pick that from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, I'm using the NLT version.
Okay.
The Bible says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli.
Mm.
So they already, you're beginning to see how young boys can develop themselves.
Right.
Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli, and there we immediately see the role that mentors have in our lives. So Samuel serving the Lord by assisting Eli, and you'll notice that the Bible continues to say that in those days messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon.
Right.
If you go back to just chapter 2, you will find that the Bible says, chapter 2, verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were scoundrel who had no respect for God,
right,
or the duties as priests. So you see these two contrasts, that here we have bigger boys who were sons of Eli, who by this time were priests, who had no respect for God whatsoever. And on the other side, we find the boy Samuel, who is serving the Lord by assisting Eli.
Right.
And I think that forms a very basis of our discussion in terms of how do young boys draw their inspiration from the world around them and from the people around them, regardless of how corrupt our world might be. Another one which we can think about is Joseph.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Joseph had to be very decisive by choosing not to make decisions that were going to be contrary to his principles. We can also think of Daniel and his friends when they were taken captive in Babylon. You might actually think that probably maybe, unlike Samuel, when you're growing in the home of a priest, it's easy for you to be raised right. But we see that in the very same home of the priest, the sons of Eli turned the other way around.
Mm.
But we're looking at Joseph, who was taken captive in Egypt. We're looking at Daniel and his friends, who were also taken captive in Babylon. And if we go through the book of Daniel chapter 1, it says, when it came to the issue of food, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself from the food of the king and the drink of the king.
Right.
You also see Moses, who, when we read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, though Moses was destined to be the next Pharaoh, he chose not to be part of the kingship in Egypt, but chose to suffer with his people. And as you know, right now, Moses is in heaven.
Mm.
He died and God resurrected him and took him to heaven.
Mm.
The list goes on and on and on. But I think you're beginning to see the picture that I think as young boys, as young men, we should start looking at how these Bible characters can influence our lives and can help us in making our decisions in one way or the other.
I love that. And those were such good examples. I think a lot of our Bible heroes, when they were young, they were great. It's when they got older that they started doing shady things, but they can learn from the young selves, as these boys that we're talking about are also young. So when we read the Bible, for example, if I'm reading about Esther and I learn about her story, how can I develop a deeper understanding of Esther and the lessons that she has for me based on the time that I'm living in today? Because as you're saying, Samuel, he worked under Eli and all of that, but there are kids here who probably have never worked before, or who don't have such mentors with them or anyone to that vicinity. So how can they draw lessons from these stories and apply them to their current lives?
That's a very important question. And you see, we live in an age where we have the advantage of having the Holy Spirit as our guide. I know this
Right.
might sound a bit theoretical, but I have seen it happen. I have seen it where, you know, when Jesus came on earth, when he was living, he promised the Holy Spirit and said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall lead you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak of all the things that I taught you, and he will remind you of all the things that I have taught you and everything. So you notice that when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to applying Bible in our own lives, when it comes to understanding the impact that these heroes or these Bible characters can have on our own lives, the safest place and the best place to start from is to start from a point of prayer where you're asking God to say, God, teach me today, what can I learn from Esther as a character, and how can I apply those principles in my own life? You can think of any character that you can think of, and I mean, you can look at any character, and with that earnest and the prayer that's coming from deep down your heart, you tell God to say, God, you've provided so much counsel, you've provided so much wisdom, and you've said that if anyone lacks wisdom, they should come to you, for you give without any reproach. So you see that when we start with that kind of mindset and with that attitude, the Bible now starts opening up itself. There was a time I remember in our ministry, we had a problem, and this problem was huge. We were ministering to people who... Eventually, someone told me that had I known that you guys are Seventh-day Adventists, I could have absolutely never even attended any of your meetings, not even once. But we went there without mentioning who we were, and we drew inspiration from the fact that Mordecai had told Esther to say that much as you're a Jew, don't tell them that you're a Jew, but when the right time came, Esther was able and Mordecai was able to proclaim to anyone that they were Jews up until the right time had come. So you can see, reading from the book of Esther, this was a lesson that became so practical in a situation that none of us thought we could actually draw inspiration from a story like the story of Esther. So you see, when we start with the right attitude, we start with an honest heart and a right mind before God, God is able to impart in our minds knowledge and provide situations where we can take these so seemingly stories that are in the pages of the Bible and make them live in our own lives, and they become our experience.
That is a very interesting way to look at it, and I think something that we don't value a lot is the importance of having an influence, because influence is something we can't avoid. We will get influence even as adults. We still get influence, whether it's to buy things, whether it's to look a certain way, whether it's to talk a certain way, whatever the case is. So it would be better to understand how to draw that from the Bible, because that is safe and that would be direction from God. So here I will give one. I'll give a specific person. It says, what are the key themes and values that boys can learn from the stories of biblical heroes? So I want to ask about a specific person. What do you think boys can draw from the story of Isaac? And the principle that I want us to look at is his what do you call, obedience to his father, the undoubting forgiveness that he gave to his father regardless of how everything was happened. So how would you, did I say forgiveness?
Yes, you mentioned something like that.
No. Obedience. So the obedience that he demonstrated to his dad, regardless of what happened, in context of today, it would be looked at as some type of abuse or whatever. So what would you, from a Christian perspective, tell to young boys to draw from the story of Isaac, specifically in that encounter with his father?
That's a very important lesson that we can draw from Isaac. Before I dive into that,
yes, sir.
If you look at the lives of Abraham, the life of Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and the 12 sons of Jacob, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
You will see that Isaac had the perfect drama-free life, for lack of a better word. You don't hear a lot of drama in Isaac's life.
Not
when
all.
You compare to the life of his father Abraham, when you compare to the life of his brother Esau.
Yes.
You compare you compare to the lives of his children Esau and Jacob, and when you compare with the lives of the patriarchs in the Bible. So you'll notice that where did this come from? You'll notice that the things that we do, it just so happens that I'm reading a book which is called Atomic Habits, and it talks about how small changes that we do in our daily lives added together, they build up this big picture that changes us and develop us into an amazing person that God wants us to be. So you'll notice that when Isaac was being obedient to his father on that Mount Moriah, little did he know that this is what's going to shape his life in future. And you can actually see that the steps that Isaac walked through his act of obedience bore testimony to the life that he had growing up. And Isaac died gracefully. He died a peaceful death. He had not so much trouble, except for that one incident where, because of the favoritism that was happening in the home, he was fooled on who to bless and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you'll notice that, you see, the only commandment that comes with a promise right here on earth is that if you honor your father and mother, when you do that, your days are going to be long here on earth, and you're going to enjoy the fruit of the land that the Lord has given. So for young men, you know, there is wisdom behind this thing, and it makes sense why God put it as one of the commandments to honor our parents. And if the life of Isaac is anything to draw from, you will notice that there are abundant blessings that come our way. There are a lot of promises that God has given us. When we are obedient, when we honor our parents, we are going to have a life that is free of drama, a life that is fulfilling, and a life that will reach the fullest potential that God had intended for us.
I love that. It is a very powerful story. It's always been interesting that, of course, Abraham's role is very important as well, because it speaks of a faith that I don't know we would have. I don't know, would you be able to do something like that, just as a side note? If God had required, it's such a great sacrifice, but then again, he was just mirroring what he would have to experience when Jesus dies on the cross. So I guess in that context, we can understand. So what are some strategies for discussing difficult, controversial themes and topics related to biblical heroes with boys? So for example, David started off great. He was an obedient son. He was an amazing shepherd. He loved God. He still loved God throughout his lifetime, but he loved God and he lived according to his law. And then he gets older. Now he's starting to do shady things, whether it's the corruption in the way that he dealt with some of the nations, the way he got married to Bathsheba, what he did to Uriah. And those are just three things out of the many. So how do you deal with controversial themes like that when boys look up to someone and then now they see, Haibo, this man was not perfect. How can we deal with that to make sure that they do not lose their ways? Because, you know, when someone is your role model, you want to model who they are. So they might think, oh, David was cool. God still called him his friend, even if he did A, B, C, D. So what strategies can we, when discussing such things, when things now start getting controversial, what strategies can we apply to avoid deviating from God's path?
That's a very powerful point to consider, and I would want to start addressing it by looking at what the Bible, the counsel that comes from the Bible, from the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, where the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you see this place, the right hand of the throne of God is a place that God has reserved for those who have faith in him. During the millennium, the redeemed of all ages will sit at the right hand of the throne of God, and they will judge angels, they will judge all the nations. So you see, we have our greatest hero, our greatest role model, and God knew that we're living in a world which is full of people who are flawed. And this is something that should come out very clearly. Human beings have their own limitations. And the fact is, when we take our eyes off God, we are bound to run into so many problems. But there is one who became a man like us, who is Jesus Christ himself, and he left an example. He led a life in human flesh and in human form, so that everyone who shall ever live on the face of earth should know where to look up to.
Right.
And the other thing that comes out very clearly is that if we are not careful, if we lose our focus, we might end up doing the very same mistakes that our Bible heroes or our patriarchs ended up doing. The Bible is written in a such a way that we have a proper perspective. We are warned. We know how to navigate through this life. So It's a very nice balancing act, where by looking at our Bible characters, you look at them. Every time they were looking at God, they were looking up to God, their lives went on very well. And every time they stopped focusing on God, things turned upside down. That's a brilliant lesson for all of us, that if we take our eyes off God and his principles, we will end up in big trouble. And at the very same time, we have one who was born like us, who is Jesus Christ himself, who set a very perfect example. And I understand the wisdom behind studying this, the life of Jesus. If we can spend ample time to study the life of Jesus and understand how he handled different situations on
earth,
we will find the right perspective and the right direction in all the different circumstances that we meet on a daily basis.
Amen. So for our last question, how can boys learn to separate fact from fiction in biblical stories and to appreciate the underlying lessons and values? I think even as adults, I'll speak for myself, that there are some times where, you know, some things are metaphorical, some things are symbolic, some things are literal, some things are, it's what do you call, when it's not literal, I forgot the term, but it's like that. So why is it important for them to separate fact from fiction in Bible stories? And then how can they appreciate the lessons that they learn from said Bible stories?
Good. I think that's a very important question as well, knowing that we're living in an age where movies and films, you talk of cartoon characters and everything, have a way of influencing our worldview of things and the Bible. For instance, I was watching my daughters the other day watching a storybook. And you know, these are dramatized Bible stories, which, you know, fine, they will deliver the core message, but you notice that there are quite a lot of things that have been put in there as well. There was another day I was reading a review on this series, which is called The Chosen One, which is actually on Netflix. I'm sure a lot of Christians are watching that, which actually shows the life of Jesus and the disciples and everything. I mean, it basically dramatizes the Gospels. And you'll notice that there's fact that you can find, and there is fiction as well, because you know something has to be good for TV, for Hollywood, for cinema, and all that kind of stuff. So how do we navigate through this? We know we have the sure word of prophecy, which is the sure word of testimony, which is the Bible, and the sure word of the testimony. It is always very important that, much as the movies, the fictitious stories and everything create a visual image of how these stories have been developed,
right,
it's always good to go back to the Bible and verify these facts. Then we hold on to what is true and discard everything that is fiction. So this is a message that I would give to all parents. It's very important to spend some time to read the raw Bible with our children, with our boys, so that when they see some fiction that is put either in storybook or any of these dramatized movies of the Bible and everything, they are able to pick that. I've done that with my daughters, and sometimes when they are watching storybook, they are able to tell me, "Dad, is that in the Bible?" And you'll notice that you're developing a curiosity in their minds to find out if these things are really for what they are. So let's develop this character of spending some time to read the Bible with our children. The Bible is truth, and the Bible will actually tell us the difference between facts and fiction. And when we build our understanding of the Bible based on facts, it's always safe, and it's always the best way to go.
Thank you so much. I think we'll wrap it up here before we end up speaking for the rest of the time I'm here. Thank you so much, Brother Mwai. God bless you in all the work that you do. And thank you always for being available when we need you.
Thank God for that. And let's pray for
the listeners.
Sure, let's do that. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before your throne with thanksgiving in our hearts for this day and for the life that you've given us, and for the time that you gave us in a very special way. Thank you for the Bible, and thank you for the different lives that we read in the Bible. We read about their successes, their failures. May these things inspire us to avoid the mistakes they did, and at the very same time try as much as we can to copy the good examples that they showed through their lives. The Bible is full of wisdom, and it's a treasure of knowledge. May you help us to draw inspiration and wisdom from it from time to time. Especially for those of us who are parents, help us to help our children to go through the Bible and also draw inspiration from the same. Pray in a very special way that you also help us, for we know spiritual things are spiritually discerned. May the Holy Spirit continue guiding us so that we can understand whenever we are reading the Bible. May you mentor, or may you help us to mentor those who are younger than us. And may you develop a generation, the next generation of God-fearing men, God-fearing boys who are going to take your gospel to the next level. Bless us and guide us for the rest of the day. For this I've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Mwai. God bless you. Have a lovely day.
Thank you, and have a lovely day too.
Thank you so much. That was Brother Mwai. We spoke about our young boys finding inspiration or heroes in the Bible.
Powered by SID Media.